Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Well, it may be hard to believe, but it's been almost a week since the airstrikes began over Libya. And Defense Secretary Robert Gates says he's not sure what could happen in the next week.
I think there are any number of possible outcomes here, and no one's in a position to predict them.
Well, Gates is probably right, but today we're going to look at three possible outcomes. What if A, Gaddafi wins, B, the rebels win, or C, they end up in some kind of stalemate? Anthony Cordesman joins us now. He's the Burke Chair in Strategy at the Center for Strategic and International Studies. And Anthony's recently published a policy paper that looks at precisely these three contingencies. And Anthony, I want to walk you through all three of them to start with. These are your three possible outcomes. A, let's talk about what happens if Gaddafi wins this war.
Well, winning is obviously going to be relative. You're going to find a isolated dictator with a history of terrorism, with very uncertain financing, uncertain ability to export oil and gas, who basically will be in charge of a country where there will be large elements that have to be constantly put under the control of the security forces. That probably means, at least at the local level, tyranny in a lot of areas, revenge, population control, which will almost certainly involve things like control over food and basic services, and an effort to lash out at virtually everyone who has opposed him while trying to build some kind of support with Latin Americans who supported him and some of the sub-Saharan African states.
Like Hugo Chavez. Okay. And you're kind of raising some slightly scary specters there of terrorism and international coalitions. But let's move to the second one. If the rebels win and depose Gaddafi and take over the government, what happens then?
We haven't the faintest idea. The truth of the matter is, if they get rid of him, it won't be through their own military strength. They have at most about 1,000 people who have military experience in a cohesive unit. The best they can do is exploit the weakness created by airstrikes that are part of the no-fly campaign. They're deeply divided. There is no one in charge. They have very little experience in terms of governance and politics. And when they come to power, no one will know who they are or how they're going to relate to a very tribal society. The other problem is Gaddafi at least knows how to run this broken system, and it is broken. Nearly 1/3 of the people in this oil-rich country live below the poverty line. But these people are going to have to take over, restore oil and gas exports, create some pattern of governance, and look at an economy that now has to be shifted to be able to operate in the modern world, something that Libya has not had for nearly 20 years.
Unknown tribal figures rising to the top in Libya. It sounds like the scenario that actually brought Gaddafi to power in 1969. I gather the third scenario is the one that we're looking at right now, at least for the last few days, a kind of military stalemate. Do you think on some level that perhaps by weighing in here, the U.S. administration has overplayed the significance of Libya, that it might have been better to just leave it alone? It is just a nation of 5 million. It's a small oil producer. It's not that big of a deal, all humanitarian concerns aside.
Well, it's about 6.6 million people, but your basic question is valid, and it's certainly one that was deeply debated within the administration. I think we need to be a little careful here, however. In the first 3 days of really active strikes from March 19th to 21st, almost all of the real effort was directed at Gaddafi's air defenses, with the exception of limited strikes on his ground forces. That balance has changed. And beginning on the 22nd, more and more of the strikes have been directed at Gaddafi's ground forces. They've had to be careful. They've had to be surgical. So the rebels may be able to take over a significant part of the east, but that really does raise the issue. A lot of the oil resources are in the east, but because of where the pipelines are, Gaddafi actually still controls most of the pipelines that take the oil resources in the east. Gas is a key source of revenue. It's not, by global standards, a massive energy source, but it's critical to parts of Europe. And almost all of that is in the West, where Gaddafi might get control. And that would confront all of us with the problem of how do we deal with the rebel-controlled areas, which will basically be a military operation simply to survive, and how do we deal with the areas which Gaddafi continues to control? Can he export oil and gas? What happens to sanctions? And this isn't a minor issue in a country that imports 75% of its food.
Well, let me just ask you, Anthony Cordesman is with the Center for Strategic and International Studies in Virginia. Let me just ask you, all of these sound kind of like bad scenarios, and you have said in your paper that the stalemate scenario is the worst possible outcome. Is there a best scenario? Is there a best outcome?
I think the best outcome is clearly for the rebels to win. Democracy is a very messy business. Revolutions are very messy. There's always the tendency to assume that when the revolution is over, somehow pragmatists, competent politicians, and people in government will be instantly in charge. That almost never is true. But it doesn't mean that over a year or two, you don't get a competent, pragmatic government. The fact something's tribal doesn't mean it doesn't work. There's a long distance between 1969 and a semi-illiterate nation and a much better educated country. And there is a vast amount of resources potentially to draw on. There's over $100 billion in foreign holdings, probably another $40 billion in foreign investments. And they earn, at this point in time, with current oil prices, over $50 billion a year. Now, for 6.6 million people, that buys even a weak government an awful lot of learning curve.
So Libya could become Brunei.
I don't, given Brunei's history, that's a rather uncertain comparison.
There you go.
Anthony Cordesman, Burke Chair in Strategy at the Center for Strategic and International Studies, talking about the possible outcomes in Libya there. None of them necessarily bright and happy, but we're still looking for your ideas, your thoughts about what's going on there.
My name is Steve Saunders. I'm calling from Guthrie, Oklahoma. Having lived in both Tripoli, Libya, and Benghazi, these people have been afraid, and the guy they're dealing with is really their monster. The majority of the people will tell you honestly, they don't like the man being Gaddafi.
Give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE, or you can post your comment at thetakeaway.org. What do you think about the intervention in Libya, or maybe the future there?